Today from Chuck Swindoll.
When you trusted in Christ, the Spirit of God made your life His residence. Christ not only came to live within you, but with Christ came His Spirit. And His Spirit is there for a reason: to empower, to give control, restraint, enlightenment.
Yes, with salvation in Jesus Christ, we receive the amazing gift of eternal life. Our home in heaven is secure, but life in Christ is so much more than life beyond the grave. Gratefully, at the point of salvation, we're inhabited by the Spirit of Christ, who infuses grace into our life every single day. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Romans chapter 8. In this passage, we discover the relief that comes from this divine relationship between God and man. Chuck titled his message, Living Above the Drag of Defeat.
If you have brought a Bible with you, please turn to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8. Surely this chapter would rank among the top 10 in all the Bible. Most Bible teachers would say that, I believe. It is filled with hope, refreshing news that brings great relief, especially after coming out of the barren desert of the 7th chapter, where we met the wretched man who attempted to take on life on his own, only to strike out and make a mess of things. When you get to chapter 8, there's a renewed hope, as we shall see. It helps us know how to live above the drag of defeat. And we look forward to what it will say to us personally. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. Please follow along as you read the first 14 verses of Romans 8. So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to Him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent His Son, His own Son, in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving His Son as a sacrifice for our sins. He did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead follow the Spirit. Those who are dominated by the sinful nature think about sinful things, but those who are controlled by the Holy Spirit think about things that please the Spirit. So, letting your sinful nature control your mind leads to death. But letting the Spirit control you and control your mind leads to life and peace. For the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. That's why those who are still under the control of their sinful nature can never please God. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit, if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you. So even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. Today it's very simple. Every person in this room either knows Christ or you do not know Christ. You either have the Spirit of God because of your conversion or you do not have the Spirit of God, which will explain, as we will see, why spiritual truth means much to many of us but very little, if anything, to some who are here. The work of the Spirit is illumination as He makes the truth known to us.
You're listening to Insight for Living. To dig deeper into Romans chapter 8 with Chuck Swindoll, be sure to download his Searching the Scriptures tool by going to insight.org/studies. And now the message from Chuck titled, Living Above the Drag of Defeat.
Sometimes a sudden surprise results in a rush of relief. I take you back to the late summer of 1961. I had just completed my time with Ray Steadman at Peninsula Bible Church, serving as a pastoral intern there that summer. And I needed to get back to Dallas Seminary to begin my third of 4 years of study there. Cynthia was heavy with child, carrying our firstborn, and so She went ahead of me in a flight. The church flew her back because none of us wanted me to deliver the baby somewhere between Albuquerque and El Paso. And so it seemed best that she fly back in case the baby came early. And since neither of us wanted me to be the one who served as the obstetrician. So that was a good decision. So I drove back alone. And if you've ever made the journey from Northern California to North Texas, you know there's no way to do it without passing through the Mojave Desert, which is a bit of a dreadful piece of land filled with a hot, barren terrain and the winds of the desert. And when your car is unair conditioned and you're pulling a trailer, you care about passing through that as quickly and as cool as you can. So I timed my trip carefully. I got to the edge of the Mojave a little after dark so that I could travel through the night. And I drove all night and got to Needles, California, right on the edge of the line leading into Arizona before dawn, quite a bit before dawn. It was still dark. I was exhausted. It had been a busy day of packing and putting our last minute things together getting the hitch on and taking care of the trailer and finally getting across the desert, which was a relief. And I remember thinking after I filled up with gas, I would step into the men's room, wash my face and hands and refresh myself and be able to get to a place where I could pull over for a little nap. Cynthia had built a with our ironing board and some pillows and the quilts, a little bed between the back of the front seat and the back seat, so that right in there I'd be able to take a nap. At least that seemed like a good idea at the time. And so that was all set, and I walked in the men's room, and there was one other man in there who rather brashly and quickly said to me, "Hey, where are you going?" And I ignored him and began to wash my hands, and he was not to be ignored, and said to me louder, "I asked, where are you going?" And I said, "I'm traveling alone. I'm going across the country." "Good, I'll go with you. I can help you drive." I said, "I'm traveling alone." And I don't think it's what he wanted to hear. He stared at me for a few chilling moments and stomped out, slammed the door. Had a funny feeling at that point that we might meet up again. And I walked out. When you travel alone, you have a lot of funny thoughts that go through your mind. Well, anyway, I got to the car. It was filled with gas, and a hot wind was blowing across the terrain, and as I opened the front door, it blew in, and I felt really uneasy. And I sat down, cranked up the car, and took off, and realized after I took off that the pillows and the quilt were ruffled. And I realized he was in that car with me, under that ironing board. Well, I don't carry a gun, and the only thing I had was a 2-foot chrome crescent wrench that I had used to tighten the lug on the trailer hitch as I put the trailer onto the car, and I'd shoved the wrench under the front seat. And I thought, that's the ticket. I'll just beat his head off his shoulders and leave the murder weapon on the street, drive on. But there's one thing for sure, he is not gonna take over this car. So why I didn't turn around and go back to the well-lit, don't ask me later, but why I didn't go back, I'll never know. Here, fresh out of the Marine Corps, I can take it on. And so I'm driving along, I get slower and slower, and I notice no cars behind, no cars ahead. I think it's a good place to pull over and take him on. So I pull over slowly, and I open the door slowly, and I gripped the weapon firmly, and I got out, and I threw the covers back. I said, "Get out of the car!" And no one was there. And I felt like an idiot because I'm standing here with a wrench and I'm talking to an ironing board in a car, and a car is coming by with a family, and I wave at them. And they must have thought, "What's the matter with that guy?" But as you recall, my comment earlier was sometimes a sudden surprise brings a rush of relief. And it was that. No one was there. It's a funny analogy, but I had the same, not quite the same emotion, but the same thought when I moved from Romans 7 to Romans 8. I thought that the wretched man would haunt us and we'd see him again and would plague us and would have to be dealt with again. But the beautiful thing about Romans 8 is, as with that stranger, the wretched man is nowhere to be found again, never mentioned again, gone. And the reason is, I think Paul was anxious to get to Romans 8. The blessed Holy Spirit comes into the subject and fills the pages from here on. It's magnificent, the difference his presence makes. No wonder Romans 8 is among the top 10 of the chapters in the Bible. It begins with no condemnation. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The Greek sentence begins with those words, no condemnation. The chapter ends with no separation. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creation shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. No condemnation, no separation, and in the middle of the chapter, no accusation. Who can bring a charge against God's elect? It is God that justifies. There is no accusation. If God be for us, who can be against us? What a relief. No wretched man, no condemnation, no accusation, no separation. The Spirit of God is here empowering this one who finally realizes he can't pull it off in the flesh. And why even try? Which is the whole point of Romans 8. Don't even try. It's wasted effort. It's not only bad theology, it's dreadful practice to conduct your life in the energy of the flesh, though you could. And I'll get to that. Now, I've given you an outline that you may wish to follow. Get your pen ready. You'll have some things to write down as I give you the words to fill in. And it'll all fit together like a really neat puzzle. Right now, it reads in a way that seems a bit like a tongue twister, but it's not that at all. And a matter of fact, this magnificent chapter starts as we are given with three facts regarding our God that are true. First, we are eternally secure in Christ, verse 1. Look at it. Look at this. You come out of Romans 7 wondering if it will be desert from here on, but the cool winds of the Spirit begin to blow, and he quickly says there's no condemnation ever, 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 ever. You as a child of God will never face condemnation, ever. The way he begins it is emphatic. We are eternally secure in Christ. Look at the second verse that just builds on it. We are also internally freed by the Spirit. Look at the verse. Because you belong to him, that's Christ, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. As I often render this word death, to a death-like existence. It's not a physical death where you keel over and stop breathing. It's a death-like existence. It's the wretched man being lived out. It's the flesh taking control. But you have been freed by the Spirit so that sin no longer has that control over you. Now, understand, in your lost condition, it dominated your life. It controlled you. You may not have planned for the day to be a defeat, but it led to that. You couldn't withstand a temptation. You couldn't get beyond your impulse. Your glands pumped hard and heavy so that you yielded to whatever selfishness, greed, control, sexual lust, whatever. You didn't have a Spirit of God. You didn't have any power in you. All you had was a sinful nature, owned and operated by the sinful nature until the Spirit of God, as a result of your journey to the cross, took up his residence within you. Think of that. Maybe you've never let that land full force. When you trusted in Christ, the Spirit of God made your life his residence. Christ not only came to live within you, but with Christ came his Spirit. And his Spirit is there for a reason: to empower, to give control, restraint, enlightenment. It's like the Spirit of God is shining bright lights on the words of Scripture now. These words that used to bore you and confuse you now begin to make sense. That's because of the Spirit at work within you. You have been internally freed from what once controlled you, namely your old sin nature. Now, there's a third factor that I don't want you to miss. Both of those statements are true. We are eternally secure. We are internally freed. Both are true because we are the recipients of grace, which is the subject of this series. Living by grace. I want you to see grace as it doesn't appear in its actual word. You won't read of grace in verses 3 and 4, but you'll see grace. Follow along. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So look at the grace that came to our rescue. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own Son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, sinless that it was, in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us. Look at the grace here. By giving us his Son as a sacrifice for our sins. For by grace you have been saved through faith. You haven't earned your salvation. You haven't paid for your salvation. You haven't worked for your salvation. You couldn't work long enough or hard enough. You haven't cleaned up your life enough to gain salvation. You can't get that clean. To be as clean as Christ is, we need help. And the grace of God comes to our rescue, and you'll see it here. God gave us his Son as a sacrifice for our sin. Now, verse 4 is another dimension of grace. Look at it. God did this so that the just requirement of the law would be fully satisfied for us, not by us. The law requires this. Grace of God took care of it. The law demanded that. Grace of God covers that. It was all done for us who no longer follow our sinful nature, but instead we now follow the Spirit.
Chuck Swindoll has set the stage for personal application, so please keep listening. He's prepared to show us how this timeless letter from Paul helps us rise above our sinful condition, or as Chuck calls it, the drag of defeat. His sermon is just one of seven in a brand new series called Living by Grace. This is Insight for Living. To learn more about this ministry, visit us online at insightworld.org. Romans chapter 8 is a joyful transition in Paul's masterpiece letter. Having established the dark depravity of our sinful nature in the early part of the letter, Paul begins to celebrate our freedom in chapter 8. These comforting words bring relief to anyone who's willing to choose God's grace over religious performance. That's the underlying theme of a signature book from Chuck as well. It's titled The Grace Awakening. In this classic, Chuck teaches us how to bask in God's grace and how to give it away as well. Plus, The Grace Awakening is a liberating book for anyone who's been suppressed by legalism. To purchase a copy, go to insight.org or call us. If you're listening in the United States, call 800-772-8888. Finally, I want to say thanks to all those who've given generously in recent days. Your contributions are truly making a difference. I saw a brief note from one of your fellow listeners in Pakistan. Another said he's been watching Chuck on YouTube. And another person told us he listened to Chuck while serving our country in the Persian Gulf. In every case, these people send their gratitude to Insight for Living. And I want to pass it along to you because we couldn't provide this daily Bible teaching program without your support. So as God prompts you to join the team and contribute to this nonprofit ministry, we invite you to give online at insight.org/donate. I'm Bill Meyer, inviting you to join us next time when Chuck Swindoll continues to describe living above the drag of defeat on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Living Above the Drag of Defeat, was copyrighted in 2020 and 2023, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2023 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide. Duplication of copyrighted material for commercial use is strictly prohibited.